The Innerbelt Neighborhood Stories Project collects stories from residents who lived in the neighborhoods that were removed by the construction of the Innerbelt Freeway in Akron. This project is part of the City of Akron's efforts to transform the decommissioned section of the Innerbelt Freeway and to document a part of Akron's history that has been largely missing to date. In this segment, Robert Davis shares what it was like being the son of Akron City Councilman Ed Davis and what it was like to see his father become president of Akron City Council, and then watching the effects of the Innerbelt's planning and construction play out in his neighborhood. There was a time where a large population of the neighborhoods that used to exist where the Innerbelt is now was home to a large Jewish population before it transitioned to become mostly Black. Several of the people I interviewed as part of the Innerbelt Neighborhood Stories recall a time when they first moved to the area when their neighbors were Jewish, and even after the demographics changed, a lot of businesses in the area were still owned by Jewish families.
I remember my dad telling me that, you know, when he first got to Akron, that neighborhood had a Jewish population. And in Akron, the Jewish families were really the only families that would sell their homes to Black families. Because, you know, you had all these red line districts and you had all these different covenants that says, you know, you can't sell your home to a Black family. Well, the Jewish people didn't abide by that. And they would sell their homes to Black families. When my dad first got elected to office in 57, a lot of the people that helped him get elected to office were from the Jewish community. So you had the Reben family, you had the Fligners, you had the Shanklers, you had the Glaziers. I mean, those are the four Jewish families that I remember that really helped my dad get elected to office. I mean, they put boots on the ground. They just didn't talk the talk. They walked the walk, you know?
Once Ed Davis was elected to city council, he was so beloved and respected, not only by his own community, but also by his peers on the council, that he was elected to the position of president.
I can still remember one of my favorite memory is when my dad became president of council. And I can remember I got to be out of school that day because they usually had council meetings at night. And then they switched this to the day because this is going to be the first Black person ever to be president of city council. And I can still remember the man's name was Turner. He was retiring and he had my dad that gavel. And man, I look back on that, I said, wow, man, my dad is president of city council. And I remember getting up on the dais and sitting in his chair and spinning around it. I was probably about 8 years old. Now I'm like, wow, this is great.
However, even with the influence and power that Ed Davis held as the president of city council, he was not able to stop or redirect the Innerbelt from being built in the ward he represented and the neighborhood he lived in.
I can remember my dad saying, hey, son, he said, the neighborhood is going to change. And I said, what do you mean the neighborhood is going to change? He said, it's going to change. He said, you know, how we go up Euclid Avenue Hill all the time? And I said, yeah. He said, well, that's going to be different. That's not going to be the same. And I remember him going to these meetings, and there was a place down the street on Euclid Avenue. I can't remember if it was a church or what. It was so long ago. But I can still remember these people complaining about how much they were going to get for their house. Because, you know, I didn't understand eminent domain back then, but I can still remember these people saying how they have to move. And they were complaining about how they had to move. I remember an older gentleman talked about he was being kicked out of his house. And so my dad was saying, I understand what you're saying, but we're going to make sure that everybody gets what's due them for their home. I can remember just him saying that we got to make sure that these people get enough money so they have some place to go. Because the obvious direction for people to go that lived in that neighborhood was further west, what we call up on the hill. That's what everybody called it. If you stayed down on Euclid Avenue, your goal in life was to move up on the hill. I mean, that's where the nicer homes were, the nicer schools were. So everybody wanted to move up on the hill. So you had to be able to have enough money to afford to move up that direction. And so I can still remember him saying that was the important thing, was getting enough value out of your home so you could move, you know, further west. But that's my biggest memory with this community meeting and people concerned about the value of what they were going to get out of their home. And some of the people complaining that they even had to leave their home because they had nowhere to go. Also, after that, I can remember the bulldozers coming through, my friends and I riding our bikes down there and watching how fast they took these houses down. They took them down like it was just like methodical. They came in with bulldozers and these machines, and they would just go down like the side of a street and just boom, 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 boom. And down they went, you know, like just like dominoes.
The Innerbelt Neighborhood Stories are produced by me, Roger Riddle, with additional editing this episode by Flaco Torres. Our executive producers are Liz Ogbu of Studio O and the City of Akron. Our music is by Flaco Torres, with additional sounds by Become Stardust. Special thanks to Summer Hall, Caleb Thurman, Dylan Garitano, Mike Meyer, the Ohio and Erie Canalway Coalition, Mary Plazo, and Rebecca Larson-Troyer with the Akron-Summit County Public Library, and a very special thank you to the Reconnecting Our Community Advisory Committee.